Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to inform you, if you need the information, I'd like to inform you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the happiest person in the universe. And it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. And the joy that he saw that gave him the strength, the psyche, the physical, the spiritual, the joy that he saw was your freedom. He said, I can die for that. Your freedom. So once that gels with you, once that is revealed to you, once you grasp a hold of that freedom in Jesus Christ that he paid for, then you, like him, become the happiest person in the universe. And that's why we act kind of crazy sometimes. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ had 3.5 years to save the world. But he always took time for parties, picnics, and fishing trips. And if there's any reprimand when we get to heaven, it'll probably go something like this. Children, why didn't you party more? And then he'll say, well, cheer up. Let me show you what a real party's all about. And he'll invite Faith Ministries praise and worship team up. And they're going to sing party. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. You know, when you realize your freedom in Christ, it makes you want to party and cry all at the same time. Happy tears. Isn't that strange that we can have happy tears? Amen. We have 5 candidates for ordination, and we're gonna take care of that today. It's what I call family business. So we're gonna do some themes along the lines of ordination, and then at the end of this, we're gonna bring our 5 candidates up and bless them with ordination. And you might wonder, well, what is ordination and what's it all about? You know, I've heard of ordained ministers and, you know, ordained preachers and ordained this and ordained that. Well, we could start with Webster's Dictionary, build on that. You need to keep this in mind as we look at the scriptures, because sometimes it says ordained in the scripture and sometimes it uses another word that is a synonym for ordained. But to ordain is to put in order, to appoint, to order, to invest officially as by the laying on of hands with ministerial and priestly authority. To ordain is to establish or to order by appointment, by decree, and even by law. And here at Faith Ministries, our ordination is publicly agreeing with what we believe you've heard from God. We believe that you have heard from God that you are to be his minister. And when we witness to that, we like to share a public agreement with that and help you with ordination. Now, you don't have to be ordained to be a good preacher. You don't have to be ordained to be a bad preacher. But if you're going to be a preacher and do things in the world of ministry, like preaching to jail, preaching to prison, possibly do marriages, or official religious sacraments of some kind, in any sense of the word, ordination is helpful to you because the government is not spiritual. The government is not spiritual, okay? They're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They don't witness whether or not you're called of God. But praise the Lord that we live under a government that recognizes that the fathers of the church, that recognizes that the pastors and the ministers and the authorities of the church have a right to recognize who is watching after the spiritual needs of their people. Isn't that a blessing? And so the government has blessed us with that. And so when you carry a faith ministry's ordination card and go out to the prison to minister, they'll say, well, what's your credential? What qualifies you as a spiritual advisor, a spiritual leader? What qualifies you? Well, I have an ordination card from my home church. And the government respects that, you see. Now, before God, you didn't need that. Before God, you just say yes and go to work for Him. But because of the world we live in and under the authorities of the world that we operate under, ordination is a very helpful thing in even the legal sense. But we find in the Bible, both Old Testament and New, where men and women of God were ordained or appointed and anointed to do the work of the ministry. Now, God's the one that calls you. If I call you, we're going to have a mess. If I call you to the ministry and you say, okay, I'll do that, we could have a big mess on our hands. But if God calls you, and I recognize that, then we have a witness going on here that God's ready to do something with you, and that can be very beneficial. Amen? And so it's good for us, it's beneficial for us to allow the prophets and the seers and the authorities of the church, the pastors, it's beneficial for you to be recognized by them, by the leaders, and that confirms to your heart that, hey, you know, I believe God did call me. You know, all these people couldn't be wrong. Well, they could, but you know what I'm saying. And so, you know, ordination is confirmation that you have answered the call of God, confirmation that you have the call of God on your life. And that confirmation is a good thing when you're doing something as important as ministry. Amen. I'm humbled by this. I'm just, you know, I was talking to the Lord yesterday and said, Lord, I'm quite humbled by this. I mean, who are we? Who am I? And who are we as a small church to put a stamp of approval, so to speak, an ordination on anyone? And it's very humbling, to say the least. But we are honored and we are privileged to be a part of the ordination of these lovely people that will be coming forward here pretty soon. And I want to start in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to read some accounts of various people that were ordained and anointed and appointed. And so we have a big biblical background of what's going on there. Let's go ahead and look at 1 Samuel 16 in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel the prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Now we're going to jump to verse 11 through 13. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here, all your sons here? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest. He is there keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, well, send and bring him. We'll not sit down till he comes here. So he went and he brought him in, and now he was ruddy and bright-eyed and good-looking, you know, like me. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. Here we have the prophet getting the witness of the Holy Spirit that this is the guy we want for king. This is what God wants to do. So Samuel takes the horn of oil. He anoints him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and then went on to Ramah. Ramah's a school, you know. So hallelujah. Samuel blessed this young man with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and confirmed to him that God had called him. It's interesting to me that God picked a shepherd to be a shepherd. That just kind of, you know, it's interesting. I mean, David became the shepherd of Israel, who was a forefather to the chief of shepherds, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a shepherd not only to Israel, but to all who call upon his name. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Samuel was confirming. I believe he confirmed to David's heart what was going on. David spent a lot of time writing and singing psalms. We all know that. And during those times, he would have been hearing from God. And God would have been nudging him and wooing him and drawing him closer and closer, saying, David, I've got a job for you to do. I've got a job for you to do. And he may or may not have known that it was to be king, but he would have known by the Spirit that he had a job to do and a calling to follow from the Lord. And so this would have been great comfort to his soul when Samuel anointed him. I might add, even though we didn't read the verses before, the Bible records how that David had some really good-looking hunks for brothers, men of war, powerful men, good-looking men, you know, qualified men. And they came by the prophet, and the prophet says, that ain't him. Another one come by the prophet and said, nope, that's not him. The Lord hadn't called him. And you can just see these guys walking away saying, man, I worked for this qualification. I've been working out. You know, I should have been picked. But the Lord said, and Samuel was even evidently questioning this, said, Lord, you know, didn't you see that guy? Lord, take another look. This is probably the king. And the Lord said, wait a minute, you're looking on the outside. He said, I'm looking on the inside. And when he looked on the inside, he saw something in that man that he wasn't pleased with. But when he saw something in that young man, David, he said, I'm happy about this boy. He's going to be my king. Oh, hallelujah. So if you're being ordained today, it's not because you look good. It's because your heart is teachable before the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 9:22, we have an account of ordination. It'll come up on the screen here in a sec. That wasn't it, was it? 1 Chronicles, what did I say? Well, I meant 1 Chronicles. You know, you'd think they would know what I mean. Can you find 1 Chronicles over there somewhere? I'll read it to you if you don't find it right away. Isn't it wonderful? There it is. Now, this is talking about the children of Israel. All of those chosen as gatekeepers. That's like, you know, Mauro's a gatekeeper. He watches that door over there. He's a gatekeeper. And these were chosen as gatekeepers. And there were 212 of them chosen. Must have been a big church, huh? It was. And they were recorded by their genealogy and in their villages. And David and Samuel, now David is king by now. Samuel's still the prophet, or what we call the seer. He could see ahead in the spirit. David and Samuel the seer had appointed these gatekeepers to their trusted office. Now these gatekeepers were called of God, but the Lord used a king and a priest to ordain them or appoint them to the work of the ministry. Amen. Let's move on to Mark chapter 3 in the New Testament and look at some of Jesus' ordination experiences. This is Jesus here, and Jesus ordained 12. Now, we all know, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and that they would have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Well, I'd like to be around that bunch. And then what do we have? In the next verse, did we get verse 21 with that? I don't know if I put that in the lineup. If you can bring up verse 21, it'd be helpful. And when Jesus' friends heard of it, he heard of him calling the 12, they went out to lay hold on him, went out to lay hold on Jesus, and they said, his friends, his family said, he's beside himself. Another version says, he's crazy, he's lost it. One of the versions makes it even more clear that not just his friends, but it was actually his family, his brothers, his sisters. You know, probably aunts and uncles. They came and they said, what is Jesus doing? He's left the carpenter shop, you know. The nails are getting rusty. And he's out there, you know, on the mountainside calling 12 men and appointing them to go do great and mighty miracles. Who does he think he is? He's lost it. Now, I bring this up because it could be, doesn't have to be, but it could be that you will find opposition to your call to ministry. And if you find opposition to your call to ministry or ordination, it could come from friends or family. I mean, after all, the family knows you best, right? They know you. They know what you did and didn't do. And they're probably going to say, wait a minute, you're going to do what? You're going to go to Bible school? You're going to do what? Don't you remember what we talked about? You weren't going to do that, remember? Oh, but, you know, the Lord spoke into my heart. And they go, have you really lost it? We had plans for your life. Opposition can and probably will come in one form or the other. But it won't stop you from obeying God if your heart's in it. Amen. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed or ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father my name, he will give you. That's good news. Isn't it interesting here that he chose us? If you, in the choosing world, if you're the one that chooses to be a minister without the choosing of God, then you're going to be responsible for yourself. That's dangerous and scary. But if you know that God has chosen you, and your ordination is one of the ways that you have the confirmation to know that God has chosen you, and that is very comforting. Very comforting, because when the devil comes along and says, you just thought you were the man for the job, your ministry's going nowhere, you can say, wait a minute, this was God's idea first. Me being a minister was God's idea first. And so ordinees and everybody else, let's remember, when we obey the call of God, remember it was his idea. It was his choosing. And when we just come under agreement to that, yes and amen, oh, praise God. We've got him to back us up. When God's backing you up, devils watch out. Amen? Well, I hope you're not thirsty, because if you watch me drink water, it'll just make it worse. God bless you. You're just so good to me. Where am I? How about 1 Corinthians? Now let's try 1 Corinthians 7:17. Look at this. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. This is a scripture written by the Apostle Paul. Now you notice here that God is doing the distribution among the church, distribution of ministry. It is the Lord here who has called each one of the ministers. But it is Paul that does the ordaining. You see, God wants to partner with us. When I call you up here and by the Spirit and obey the Spirit to ordain you, I'm partnering with God. Wasn't my idea, wasn't your idea. This is God's idea. We're just falling in line with it and saying, yeah, we want to be a part of this. I want a piece of this action. When I see a person wanting to get out there and work for God and wanting to be ordained and receive the Holy Spirit anointing that comes with it, it's like, yeah, I get a part of his action. Hallelujah. I get to be a part of his ministry. And we're going to back you up, brother. We're going to back you up, sister. We're going to see great things happen in the name of the Lord. Let's go to Titus 1:5. Little book of Titus. If you're looking for it, it's really small. For this cause, here Paul is still speaking, for this cause I, Paul, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things. Remember Webster's Dictionary, ordaining was setting in order. You should set in order things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. And so we see here again, Paul is giving the authority to his pastor Titus to do the ordination. And so if I ordain you, it's not by my authority, it's by his authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise God. Now in 1 Timothy 3, we have a beautiful account of ordination. And we're going to read 1 Timothy 3, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. Are you ready for this? This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, hold just a second. You might say, what's a bishop? Or maybe you come out of the Catholic world where you know to some extent what a bishop is. Well, Bishop, to put it easy for us, okay? Everybody likes something easy, right? I mean, the brain likes easy. So we could actually read it and not be off. We can actually read it and say, if a man desires the position of a minister. Does that help? Now, bishop is more specific than that, and it fits more in the realm of pastoral. In fact, if you really boil it down and play with all the definitions, I think the best definition in English, in our modern terms, would be defining bishop as an overseer or administrator. That just kind of fits the best. But what we're talking about here is ministers. Any, you know, there's a lot of different terms you can use. If you want to call me bishop, go for it. I don't care what you call me as long as you call me in time to eat. Yeah. But here we have the position of a minister is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be called of God. It's a good thing to answer the call of God. It's a good thing to be a minister of God. It's a good thing to be ordained of God. It's a good thing. Good thing. You're not going backwards here. You're going forward. You're not backing up your life or degrading your life in any sense of the word. No, you're going forward. God has better things for you. Oh, better things for you than you've ever known before. Well, let's read on. The bishop, the minister, then must be blameless and be the husband of one wife. If you have a second wife or a third wife, you probably ought to get rid of them because you're supposed to just have one. The husband of one wife, you should be temperate and sober-minded. Good behavior. Boy, that puts a lot of us out, doesn't it? Good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. That helps. You should not be given to wine, nor violent, nor greedy for money, but gentle and not quarrelsome and not covetous. You should be one that rules his house well, his own house. You should have your children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how on earth? I added the on earth. How on earth will he take care of the church of God? Let's go on. You shouldn't be a novice. In other words, inexperienced. Least being puffed up with pride, you fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Well, I wouldn't want that. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons. Did you know deacons are ministers? Yeah, they are. Very important ministers. I would not want a church without deacons. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, and then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things, and good cooks. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Get rid of those other two. Ruling their children and their own houses well. Verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here you have people who are ordained to the ministry and a list of the qualifications. Amen. Isn't that good that he gives us some qualifications? Amen. Okay, where am I now? How about 1 Timothy 4:14 through 16? Paul speaks to Timothy. Timothy, I always expected that Timothy was Paul's favorite disciple. You know, we can ask him later when we see him. But it just appears that Timothy, you know, Paul had a lot of disciples, a lot of followers, and it seemed like Timothy and Paul were quite close. And Paul instructs Timothy here with fatherly instruction, the counsel of a great mentor. He says, don't neglect the gift that's in you. which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership, or the other King James says presbytery. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those that hear you. Again, qualifications, instructions. Isn't that good? Don't neglect the gift that's in you. It's on a regular basis that the Holy Spirit reminds me to stir up the gifts. I have been blessed with various gifts in my ministerial life, in my spiritual life. I've had various gifts, spiritual gifts that tend to rise up and flow and come out of me. And you know, the Lord wanting to use me in various ways. And it's just quite frequently the Lord is saying, you need to stir up that gift. You haven't prophesied in a while. You need to stir this up. It's in there. You haven't laid hands on anybody in the name of the Lord lately, you know. Cast out that evil spirit. You know, you need to be thinking about stirring this gift up. I called you to minister, not to sit around and do nothing. Amen. Let's jump to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Oh, man. Did he have to use that word? You're looking at a young man. I look so young, only three of them got the joke. You're looking at a fella that is not known for his desire to study. Well, it depends on what I'm studying. Do we have to go there? Please, no. You know, my wife is a study bug. You've heard bookworm. She's kind of a bookworm, you know. She's a study bug. And I tell her, I said, honey, you study so much, you should be the smartest person on earth. I have to make myself study. So more than likely, this is if you search this out, you'd probably find that the word study here is in the command form. Calvino, study. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ordainees, candidates, we are commanded by the word of God to study the word of God. Now, I guess you could say, well, that's a relative term. You know, I read a verse a day. That's not, I mean, that could be qualified as study, but probably wouldn't get you a good grade. Well, bless you. Study means to open that book and get something out of it. Open that book and bury your eyes on the page until something starts speaking to your heart. You haven't studied until something came out of the book and got in your heart. Huh? Wow. That's good preaching. I could use some of that. I was blessed at 21 years of age with my first ordination. Now, I had been raised in church. I was a very little tornado, I guess you'd call me. That's what one of the dear old sisters that helped raise me in Sunday school, she called me that little tornado that ran all over the church. We got a couple of those here, huh? Yeah. And little tornadoes can grow up to be big tornadoes, so don't worry about it. As long as you're tornadoing for Jesus. But I, you know, and I had my rebellious years when mom and dad told me, don't do that. I always had to find out why. I go find out why and I say, ooh, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I didn't use all that intelligence that God put up there. I had to see for myself why they said don't do that. And that's, I don't recommend that to anyone. It's just heartbreak. But even though I was raised in church and I had my ups and downs and my good days and my bad days and my rebellious years and my obedient years and all that, you know, when I, by the time I was 21, I knew that God wanted me working for Him. And even though I was still in secular work and doing various things in the physical world, I knew that God had a call upon my life, and I knew I needed to find out more about it. And we were at Los Alamos, New Mexico, commonly known as Atomic City, where the atomic bomb was developed. Barbara was raised there and had friends there, and I had relatives there that helped do the bomb and la, la, la. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, we were there at some meetings, and there was an apostolic man there, an apostolic minister by the name of Buddy Benton. Powerful man of God. And I hear sitting in the service minding my own business, and he said, come up here, young man. He didn't know me. Couldn't use my name. Come up here, young man. God wants to give you a word. So I came up, you know, and he lays hands on me. He begins to prophesy me over me, and the prophecy was quite long. Before he finished, he had ordained me. And my first thought was, well, I'm too young to be ordained. I'm only 21. I later found out that even though I was only 21, I had been under the word for about 16 years. You know, when these kids are here, they're under the word. And you know, they're listening in their spirits. Even if they're busy coloring on something, their little spirits are still picking it up. Yeah, and so I'd been under the word longer than a lot of people being ordained. Twice my age. Because I had been taught right. Teach them in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. Amen. So anyway, I was ordained first there by Apostle Buddy Benton, and I carried with me a new anointing. And I didn't recognize it and understand it because of my immaturity, but as I moved through life and moved through ministry, I would recognize it when it would show up and go, oh, that anointing is there because I was blessed and ordained by a man of God. And I would recognize various activities of the Holy Spirit in my life that were rooted in the prophecies that came forth in my ordination. And so based on that, I have a great respect for ordination. Later on, some years later, I was ordained not just by a prophet and an apostle of God, but I was ordained by an organization, which we affectionately know as FCF, Faith Christian Fellowship International, out of Tulsa. And they helped us begin the path of legal covering with ordination. Well, since that time, by the blessing of God, we at Faith Ministries, having our own charter of ministry, we now have the same legal status, so to speak, as huge denominations, even though we're quite small. But our legal status is up there where we, you know, we pass the test. And that's just an awesome honor and an awesome blessing. And so now, not only am I covered in these other ways, but I'm covered now through Faith Ministries. But I appreciate all the coverings, both spiritual and legal, that the Lord has blessed me with. And I don't deserve any of them, but I have a job to do for Him, and this helps me do it. And you guys that are candidates today, you have a job to do for God. And this ordination is going to help you do it. It won't do it for you, but it'll be an assistant to you and be a benefit for you. And at this time, I'm going to ask ordination candidates to come up, and we're going to pray over you. I'm going to ask our pastors Nina and Mitch to come up. My wife. And Reuben, Pastor Reuben, our Spanish pastor. And you that are ordinee candidates, just come on up. That would be the Glock family and the Samaniego family and Maria Luisa Serrato. You guys are so awesome. Well, go ahead and just stand there, and if you're, just let them stand there, and If they get slain in the spirit, they'll just land over there on the platform. Is Becky busy? Becky's our pastor's ambassador, and she's very prophetic. Becky, if you're hearing this and you get a chance to break loose in the kitchen, feel free to join us. Especially if you have a word of prophecy for anybody, feel free to join us with that. Becky's real quiet, but she's the pastor ambassador. She knows how I think. That's why she's my ambassador, my personal ambassador in this ministry. And she kind of takes a back seat in a quiet place. But, you know, I depend on her immensely in the spirit realm. And a lot of times when I give you a super prophecy or a nugget from the Lord, she gave it to me to give you. So. Hallelujah. We're blessed, Reuben. We're blessed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's start with Maria Luisa. Let's all go lay hands on her. Reuben, feel free to do the interpretation that you need with this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Our precious Maria. Our precious Maria. Our sister in the Lord. Our daughter in the Lord. You have stood faithful with your husband. He, being ordained for many years, has had you by his side. And you have stood with him in the hard times, in the easy times. And you are blessed of the Lord. And not only are you called to stand with your husband, but you're also called to minister beside him. And the ministry I've called you to is going to grow rapidly. It's going to develop rapidly. God has great things in store for you. You have been faithful as a wife. And you have been faithful as a caregiver. But I have called you for more. And you will teach the Word of God. You will teach with boldness. You will be blessed of the Lord to minister to the Spanish community. And they will hear what you have to say. They will respect the words you give, because you will be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And we recognize the call of God on your life. You are called of God. And we ordain you as someone called of God, chosen of God. We ordain you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will go forth. You will do His will. You will bring glory to His name and benefit to the people of God. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Y María, the Lord has called you to set the captive free. You have spent time in the secret place of the Most High. And the Lord is anointing you to set the captive free. You're going to see chains broken off of people's lives. And you are rising up as a mighty woman in God. And the compassion of God within your spirit is going to motivate you. And my spirit is upon you. And you will set the captive free. And it'll come from a heart of compassion and love. You have the authority. And you're going to be working in the discerning of spirits. And you're going to set the captive free.
Peter, I remember a prophetic word that came forth for you several years back. And the essence of that word was that you were to give yourself to music. I remember it very well. Peter, give yourself to music. Give yourself to music. And the Lord says, Peter, you have. And you haven't seen anything yet. Peter, I will open musical avenues to you that have not yet been used. There will be musical avenues that you will, so to speak, discover. And you will develop them into beautiful sounds of the Holy Spirit, into heavenly hymns, heavenly sounds. And I have brought beside you a bride, a wife, a helpmate that will be with you in this and encourage you in this. And she will have the spiritual discernment to recognize when you're hearing from the Spirit. And she'll have the spiritual discernment to recognize when it could be your flesh. So listen to her, listen carefully, and listen prayerfully. Because the Lord will speak to both of you and show you when to put your foot forward and when to go forward in the ministry of music and when to hold back and what to change and what to adjust. For as you give yourself to ministry of music, you'll be giving yourself to heavenly sounds. Expect them, receive them, develop them, and enjoy them in the name of the Lord.
You're getting ready to experience a greater measure of the tangible presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is going to be very strong upon you, and there's going to be a tangible presence come upon you and overshadow you, the anointing of the Most High. And in this place of the presence, there's going to be great victories won. Great victories won. Amohanisha la me ima oka maita ole ashayene e ama alo oma ia shala me ayale ina ayote. And the Lord is even going to use you to release the sounds of heaven into Arizona that will be a wind of fire of God that's going to begin to burn. And it's going to burn, and it's going to burn, and it's going to burn, and it's going to flow through the state. Sounds from heaven being released. Anointing of the Most High.
Yes, and those sounds of heaven, the young people are going to hear those sounds of heaven. Oh, but there must be a preparation. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, be instant, in season and out of seasons. That means that even when the times are not favorable, when the times are tough, You're going to rise up in the power of His might, in the power of His anointing, in His presence, in Jesus' name. For there are many youth who are waiting to follow a good leader, an anointed man and woman who they can hear. Oh, hear words of God and words of heaven, and that they can hear those sounds of heaven in Jesus' name. Both you and Lucy are one flesh, and you shall hear the sounds of heaven together in agreement, always in agreement. Oh, there is power in agreement. Power in agreement. And when you walk together in the power of His might, in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, oh, hallelujah. All that agreement, that unity, is just going to draw the young people to you. In Jesus' name, oh, a new thing, a new thing. Oh, it's a sweet-smelling Savior, sweet-smelling aroma to the Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Peter and Lucy, we anoint you and ordain you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will go forth and be blessed of the Lord. And you will be not only blessed of the Lord, but you'll be blessed of God's people and a blessing to God's people. Go forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we have standing before us today seasoned ministers. Ministers of experience. And Lord, I just see that on the foundation of this ministry experience, you're going to build a whole new ministry. I see, Lord, that you're going to develop a whole new ministry for them and through them. The way they have ministered in the past was the way I wanted them to minister in the past. But the Lord says, I will bring new avenues of ministry and develop new ministries within you and through you that you know not yet, but you are soon to see. You are soon to see and soon to experience new waves, new ideas, new ministries. And the anointing that is upon these new avenues of ministry is going to be stronger and more powerful and a higher level of anointing than you've ever experienced before.
And the Lord says, I've called you to be an evangelist to the lost. I've called you as an evangelist to the lost. I'm Ahai O'Shea, and from this day forward, you're going to have words of wisdom and words of knowledge flowing out of you, and you're going to know things about these people that nobody else knew, and it's going to trigger in them a response. Yes, this is God, and He knows me. He knows where I am, and you're going to begin to operate in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and you're going to begin to touch the heartstrings of people that have been all tied up and shut up, but God's going to use the word of the Lord through you to trigger that response in them to say, yes, I will follow the Lord. I've called you to be soul winners. I've called you to be soul winners. Alahaya She, you're going to find your congregation among the lost, and that's where you're going to begin to minister to them, teach them of the word, and raise them up. Ahole Kaya She, for I have called you. I've called you as an evangelist to the lost.
A new thing in guidance as you continue to hearken your ear to the Spirit. He says, I will lead. Continue to hear the whisper of my Spirit, and I will lead exactly where you need to go, exactly who you need to talk to. Continue to hearken your ear, and I will give you guidance. And that new thing.
Father, I thank you from a brother Charles and Sharon, Father. And I thank you, Father. Father, for your hand is upon them, Father. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, they're going to go forth and praise, Father, and worship, Father, in Jesus' name. They're not going to hold back. They're going to speak forth your word with boldness, Father. Boldness, Father, in Jesus' name. Not going to hold back. You're not going to hold back, but you're going to be preaching the word with the Holy Ghost and with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. With all boldness, not holding back, not holding back, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, oh, in Jesus' name. It's going to be easy for you to preach the gospel. The words is just going to flow through your mouth. Easy, 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 in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Charles and Sharon, we anoint you and appoint you as ministers of the gospel of Christ. We acknowledge the call of God upon you, and we bless the call of God upon you, and we ordain you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grasping at something here that I hardly have words to put in. It's like when we ordain you to, it's one ordination. One ordination. And this happens anytime there's a couple that's in agreement, this happens. But it's even stronger with you guys. It's even stronger. The oneness God has called you to is even stronger than I've sensed in many other couples. This is one ordination to do one job for God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a many-faceted job that will require the skills and the talents of both of you, but it's one ordination in Jesus' name. You are blessed of the Lord. You are blessed of the Lord. Well, the Word of God says, give honor, and to whom honor is due. Let's honor our candidates today. Newly ordained of the Lord, blessed of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And your credentials are in my pouch. You guys will be credentialed as well as ordained, and may that be a blessing and a tool for you to use when the places you go to be ministering. Amen. God bless you real good.
Thank you.
Amen. Aren't they sweet people? Sweet people. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, are you happy? Aren't you glad Jesus set you free?
Can I take 5 minutes to share with
him? Yeah, he's already wanting to preach.
Mitch had an awesome message a couple weeks ago. Anybody remember Matthew chapter 25 about the talents, the 5, the 2, and the 1 talent? That parable has always had me question, what is that one talent? What is that one talent? And we understand that the 5 and the 2 talents are the ministries that we're given. And Pastor was saying, just stir up those gifts that you were given. Stir them up and use them for the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Bring in more talents. Because as you lead other people to the Lord, those talents are extended. And as you use your ministry, those talents are extended. And so that's what those talents are. But what's that one talent? And I shared with Pastor Calvino this morning, and I shared with Sharon at breakfast time, I said, I hope I can explain this, but this is just really neat to me. What is that one talent that the person took and buried in the earth? And it's this. Inside every single person is a hole that only God can fill. That we search, we look, we try to find, we try everything in the world, but we don't go to God. And what is this body made of? It's flesh and blood, but what is it really made of? Dust we came from, dust we shall return to. It's made of earth. And so that person that had that one talent, he took it and buried it in the earth. And he never did anything to get it to grow. And it says, after a long time is a lifetime. After a long time, the Lord returned. And the one that had five talents, he blessed him because he had taken his five and made five more. And the one who had two, he had taken his two and he had made two more. But that one that had one, on judgment day, that little bit of hope, that hole you have in your heart that only God can fill, that hope is taken away on judgment day. It's gone forever. And he says, take that hope that that person has and give to the one that has 10 talents now. On the way to church this morning, I was talking to Sharon. We all know heaven's real. There's hope there. But hell is real too. Hell is a place, the New Testament tells us, darkness will never end. Eternal separation. All hope is lost. When they took that servant and they took that talent away from him, he threw him into eternal darkness. And it was all gone. And that hope that he had was gone. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. When we are separated, I say we, when sinners are separated from God eternally, all hope will be gone. The gnashing of teeth, what is that? I think that it's, we will have every memory of every time we were offered to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we rejected that. And there's probably people in this service that will remember this day that Jesus was offered to be your Lord and Savior, and they said, no, I don't need it. I want you to reconsider. Consider Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to accept him eternally as your Lord and Savior. I cannot express what I feel in my heart, but it is so important that you accept Jesus. That is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that life that he is a wonderful life. And I just offer it to you, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this day, one day that hope will be taken from you. And I want you to consider right now to make Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Is there someone here this morning who raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus? I haven't ever done that. I want to accept Jesus. There's Robert. You've accepted Jesus in the past, but you're wanting to renew that relationship. Is there someone here who says, you know, I need to recommit my life to Christ? Come up, Charles. Charles is going to stand right over here. And Robert, you come up. Charles is going to pray for you. And if there's anybody that you just feel in your heart, you know, I need to do this too. I want to accept Jesus. Is my Sharon, join your husband in case a lady comes. Maybe you're a woman or a girl. And you just, you know, I need to get in on this. Well, just come up here and Sharon will pray with you. You can go home with the assurance that Jesus is your Savior. The assurance. Yeah, you can be assured that he's your Savior. That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. There's no greater blessing than to have the knowing in your heart that Jesus is your Savior and that you will live with him forever. You get to go to heaven and be with Grandma. That's pretty good too. Amen. Hallelujah. Reach your hands over this way and let's just bless these people that have come up. Lord, we bless these people that are here this morning. We bless them, ask that you will increase their understanding, increase their knowledge, increase, Lord, their understanding as to how to really receive you in such a real way, a genuine way, Lord, a way that just really feels right forever. Lord, bless them and encourage them in the way. Teach them from your word. Open the scriptures. Open their minds to understand the scriptures. Lord, we bless these people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I made a statement when I first got up behind the pulpit that Jesus had 3.5 years to save the world. He always took time for parties, picnics, and fishing trips. Now, if you'll think about that, that's where the people were that needed him. He didn't go to the temple and ring the bell and say, "Everybody come, I've got what you need." No, he went out there on the picnic. He went out there to the party. He went out there on the fishing trip because that's where they were. He knew they weren't going to come to the church when they rang the bell. So he went to them. And let's just receive that as a challenge this morning. When we see someone that needs Jesus, it's good to invite them to church, but it's better if we go to them and say, "Hey, I've got what you need. I've got what you need." Amen? Hallelujah. We want to, again, as Nina said, we want to invite you to stay and eat with us. We always have plenty of food, so please feel free. We made it for you. And let's pray and ask God's blessing on that now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you so much, Lord, for all the good food that's been prepared for us. Lord, for the labor of love being presented to us by those that made the food. And Lord, we just bless this food to our bodies, bless our bodies to the food. We thank you, Lord, for doing great and mighty things in our lives spiritually, and even doing great and mighty things in our physical bodies. Lord, we want to thank you for strength and health and for the good food that we can put in our bodies. Lord, you're so good to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we can quietly retire to the dining room. Be respectful of those that are still praying. God bless you. Have a very wonderful week in Jesus' name.